Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Our old friend worry. Why would this message be picked 2 Sundays before Christmas? 2 reasons. Number one, people tend to worry year-round. But Christmas is a notorious holiday for people to be depressed. Perhaps at the loss of loved ones, they have Christmas come and it's all the memories. I also think a reason why people are often depressed at Christmas is because of all the hype, and then it's empty. Because without Christ, Christmas is meaningless. You can exchange all the gifts, but it is empty when it's all said and done. And so it is today. I hope to present a message that will help us year-round and at this Christmas season to defeat, to conquer, to control our worry. But isn't it so true, our old friend worry? Very faithful to come back, to visit us on a regular basis. Worry is probably the most common thing that Christians do when they're not in the will of God. And worry is based on unbelief. All boils down to unbelief. If I can please use the simple illustration I've used many times. You are at peace because you trust the chair you're sitting in. If you didn't trust the chair, believe me, you wouldn't be at peace. But you trust the chair. So your mind is free to deal with other things. Therefore, we're going to obviously see a major theme in this morning's message. Trust God. I want to give you a simple quiz here as we start out. Don't answer out loud. Just answer in your mind. I'm going to ask you 4 true-false statements here. You answer quietly in your mind. God is all-powerful. True or false? Do you need more time? Number 2, God is all-present. Number 3, God is all-knowing. Number 4, God cares for you. If you answered each question true, then what are you worried about? And if you answered any of those questions false, then what are you thinking? Therefore, worry, peace, is based on our thinking. There is a disconnect between our head knowledge and our daily application. And that's where the problem is. We have the right answers, unless some of you got that quiz wrong. God is all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, and He cares for you. Then why? Because we have trouble in the ugly here and now, in applying what we know. Living it is the problem. Consider. A hotel manager in Raleigh reports that a guest woke up everyone in the hotel screaming, "It's in the phone book! It's in the phone book!" The manager got the house detective and they let themselves into the man's room where they found him in the midst of a nightmare. "I was having a horrible dream," the man explained when awakened. "I dreamed that the IRS had a big refund for me, but they lost my address." His worry was such that it took him into his dreams. Do our worries enter our dreams? I hope not. But we can get so consumed by all of our problems that it does enter our dreams. What are some causes of anxiety? Well, a recent study shows one of the reasons is rush sickness. Trying to cram 30 hours of activities into a 24-hour day. How about straining? Those who aren't getting ahead as fast as they think they should and strain harder for promotion or some type of approval. Here's a reason for anxiety. Mobility. In a recent 5-year period, 75 million Americans changed homes, uprooting parents and children from family, church, and community relationships. And number 4, threat of nuclear destruction. There are a lot of different reasons why people worry. Some people just need something to worry about. If they don't have something, they find something. It's almost become an addiction. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Now I can worry about this. Something's wrong. Worry truly does affect us physically, starting with the classic stress headache. It goes down the back of the neck, right? Down the shoulders and down the center of the back. A British clinic did an examination of 500 patients, and they confirmed that more than one-third of their visual problems were caused by emotional tension. Dr. Leonard S. Bostic of Northwestern University has proven conclusively that worry restricts the flow of saliva. Then, because natural mouth acids are not properly neutralized, tooth decay occurs. Because of worry. A survey of about 5,000 students in 21 different colleges confirms that worriers get the lowest grades. The Bible has the answers. We know that. Today I want to just share some things that I know you already know. But let me give you another very simple quiz. True or false? Those of you that know Christ as your Savior, your eternity is settled. True or false? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Second true false for this quiz. God can do anything. Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for Me? And the third true and false question, God is in control. Please look at Isaiah 46, start at verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like Me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, I will do all My pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth My counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Three simple true-false questions. If you answered all of those true, then what are you worried about? If you didn't answer them all true, then what are you thinking? What more does God have to do for you to give you peace? If you're born again, your eternal destiny is settled. What more do you need? Because therein, it's all encompassed. What is the worst that can happen? You die and you go to heaven. Can you deal with that? Then you can deal with anything else. Worry is the advanced interest you pay on troubles that seldom come. Worry is the advanced interest you pay on troubles that seldom come. We don't have to do that. We trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. He has saved us for all eternity. We never have another worry. He has settled it, except He can't take care of today. Is there something faulty in that? If He can take care of eternity, He can take care of today. We need correct thinking. Now here's a guy who put his worry to good use. And maybe you can use this tidbit of advice. When a Chicago policeman started to ticket a double-parked car, a man hurried up and explained that he always double-parks when he visits the dentist. That way he has something else to worry about instead of the dentist. so you can put your worry to good use. Let's take a look at three key truths to help us get the victory over worry. Number one, the Word of God. The Bible really does have the answers to life. There is an almighty God who created this world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. That's true. And that God is just alive today as He was in the beginning and as He always has been. His Word gives us promises for living, stories to serve as illustrations for our learning. He gives us teaching of eternal truths and much more. Therefore, let's learn His Word. Saturate our minds with the truths of God, and it will truly affect our thinking. The Bible is truly life's instruction manual. Now, when you buy a car, they have this wonderful book in the glove box, right? The manufacturer published that for our good. And if you want to know something about your car, you get out the instruction manual. Folks, we need to read the instruction manual of life. God did create us, and He gave us His Word. We do ourselves a disservice when we don't read it. He told us, I know the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning. He says, I know everything. God is sovereign. Before He created this world, He already knew everything. Yet He gives us a free will. And yet His will shall be done. Nothing occurs to God. God never snaps His fingers and goes, oh, I forgot that one. God never has anything occur to Him. God's never in a hurry. I have shared with you this verse many times before. It is pivotal in your life of peace. To please look at 1 Peter 1:19. We have been saved with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was, underline it, foreordained before, double line the word before, the foundation of the world. Let that soak in, that before this world was created, a Savior was already established. Let me reword it. Before sin ever occurred, God had a Savior, because He knew sin was going to happen. He did not be taken off guard when Adam and Eve sinned. He knew it, that they would already sin. Therefore, He already had a Savior planned. Therefore, God knows everything. Folks, that verse ought to be so life-changing. Before the foundation of the world, He already had a Savior. The Bible is to be trusted because it provides accurate history, accurate prophecy, and accurate reports of people who went through this before us, and we can learn from them, among many other things it gives us. One of our problems is our priorities. We have the famous story of Mary and Martha when Jesus came and was in their house. Luke 10:38, now it came to pass as they went that He, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet, heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, came to Him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Yeah, if she wasn't there, He would be sitting alone. She has left me to serve alone. Bitter, therefore, she helped me. See, her priorities were wrong. There's nothing wrong with serving guests and doing the dishes. But the problem is, when it takes place, Jesus Christ is literally in her living room. And there He was in the flesh, therefore His time was limited with her, and she was willing to do the dishes instead of spend time with Him. How many times do we get our priorities out of order and we get worried, frustrated? We must be careful to guard our priorities Get into the Word of God. Mary assessed the situation properly. She sat at Jesus' feet. And here's Martha upset. You're not helping me with the dishes. Martha needed to come out and sit down with Jesus. Folks, let us take some time and sit down with the Bible. It will change our lives. Please consider James 4:14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then it vanishes away. We see this more up north. You go out on a cold day, and you watch your breath, and it disappears. Gone. Folks, let's get our priorities in order. Because this life is a blink, and we're done. And we will stand in the presence of God. Death comes to all of us. Let us not waste a moment. Get your priorities in order. The second thing I want us to see is the importance of prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Paul wrote concerning worry in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. A command, not a suggestion. We could paraphrase it, don't worry about anything. Where was Paul when he wrote this? In a Roman prison. Please let that soak in. Here he is in a prison cell telling those on the outside, don't worry. Wouldn't you think we would be sending letters into the prison saying, don't worry? What did Paul know? We can learn much from him. He writes a command, be careful for nothing. A soldier in the military is given an order. It's to be obeyed completely. It's to be obeyed now, promptly. Don't be careful. Don't be anxious for nothing. Not even one thing. There is absolutely nothing that we should be anxious about, but in contrast, be careful for nothing. Now here comes a contrast. Rather, what should we do with our cares? Everything by prayer and supplication. The tough part here is with thanksgiving. Oh, I have no problem taking my prayers to God and my concerns to God. It's that with thanksgiving part. Be thankful in the midst. Well, no, usually here's how it goes. Lord, when you take this away, then I will be. And God says, no, in the middle of all of your cares, give them to me with thanksgiving and you'll find peace. Because you see, when those problems, trials, and tribulations are gone, trust me, something will take its place. When we take our concerns to the Lord, what we are doing is acknowledging there is a God. And He hears prayer. And He cares about us. And He answers prayer. And He has the power to do something about it. And He knows what's best. And He'll do what's best. And we have hope beyond ourselves if we will only to take it to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. And so it is, the proper way to take your cares to the Lord is with thanksgiving. Not a popular thing to do. You see, when we go to the Lord and we give Him our cares with thanksgiving, and then when things are resolved, we have to give the glory to God. That wasn't a coincidence. God did that. And then we do it again next week, and God blesses and He answers. And then we do it again the next week, acknowledging God and giving thanksgiving, and we start to have this track record. God, You've been so good throughout the years. And it builds our confidence in Him, and we grow in our faith, trusting Him more day by day. Hence the importance of taking things to God. To God be the glory, great things He has done. Thanksgiving also is important, for it adjusts our attitude. If we're not thankful, we have the wrong attitude. We need to take things to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. And it will adjust our attitude towards God and will bless and please Him. Hence, the second key point is taking our concerns to God in prayer with thanksgiving. The third thing I want us to see, very simply, faith. Take a look at Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. How much more straightforward can it be? Faith is acting in complete reliance on God and on His Word, wholly apart from one's own feelings about the matter. Listen again. Faith is acting in complete reliance on God and His Word, wholly apart from one's own feelings about the matter. Let's have faith, therefore, in God and some of His truths. Are you ready? He gives peace, John 14:27, written the night before the crucifixion. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ said, I leave peace. If we don't have peace, whose fault is it? Don't blame God. And so it is, he says, I give peace, not as the world gives peace, not as the objects which men commonly pursue in pleasure, fame, or wealth. That's not the peace he's talking about. There's no peace there. How about the world of men that they give you? The empty and flattering words, but friendship is usually shallow and not sincere. Peace is not in the systems of philosophy or false religions. My peace is such as meets all the wants of the soul, silences the alarms of conscience, and is fixed sure amid all external changes, and will abide in the hour of death and forever. How desirable in a world of anxiety and care to possess this peace, and how should all who have it not seek that which the world cannot neither give nor take away. Oh, the peace that God wants us to have is nothing that the world will ever know. You see, we should be able to find peace in the midst of all of our trials. Take a look at Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, your thinking, is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And God promises us strength, Isaiah 40:31. But they shall wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Promises that we can lay hold of, having faith in God. You said this, Lord, and I'm going to claim that promise. As we consider waiting upon the Lord, this is not to imply a time of inactivity and twiddling our thumbs till God does something. Rather, we need to take a look at waiting on the Lord as we go to a restaurant and we have a waiter. They're not inactive. They're keeping an eye on the kitchen. Is the food ready? They're helping us with whatever we may need, an appetizer or something, maybe to refill our beverage as we're waiting. But the waiter surely is not one of inactivity, but rather still concerned about the responsibilities before them. So it is when we wait on the Lord, it's not that we do nothing. Rather, we tend and we wait upon the things that He has for us to do. Yes, in an expectation of something else to happen. But in the meantime, it's not that we're not doing anything. We're doing what we need to do, that we know to do, so that He can work. And we wait on Him. God will always be with you. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Another promise of God that we can lay our anchor on and He will bless. Oh, God, claim the promises that He has given us. Let us remember the truths He's given us. Christian, your eternity is settled. The worst that can happen is you die and go to heaven. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting. I want you to understand this too. The moment you believe, you have eternal salvation now. It doesn't happen at death. It happens the moment you trust Christ is when your eternal security begins. You are saved now. You have eternal life now. Yes, your body will transform from the physical world that we know now to a spiritual realm. But the fact remains, those of you who know Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life now. Yes, you'll change. But it's not that you're going to get it someday. You have it now. The second thing I want us to remember, God can do anything. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? No, there is nothing too hard for God. And we must remember God is in control. We saw that in Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. God says at the end of verse 11, I have purposed it, I will also do it. God is in control. Nothing surprises Him. Folks, let us lay our anchor on these great truths and watch God melt away our worries. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He really does care. He really does want you to have peace. He doesn't want you down here fretting and having tension headaches. He wants you to have peace. Should we be concerned about things? Yes. Paul said that we take our cares to Him with thanksgiving. Peter said, cast your care. There are cares. But there's a tremendous difference between worry and care and concern. I want you to consider. We must be concerned to do our best at work or at school. We must be concerned to pay our debts. We must be concerned to provide for our family. We must be concerned to maintain our home, our car, our things well. We must be concerned with proper nutrition. We must be concerned with child training and other family responsibilities. We must be concerned with spirituality, but there's a big difference between concern and worry. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Learn to call upon God with thanksgiving, meditate on His Word, and believe what He said. Never miss an opportunity to stop worrying. If you take God out of life, you have every reason in the world to worry. But the truth is, you can't take God out of the picture. That's not possible. He is reality. Therefore, let us live according to His truths. Let us live leaning upon Him and watch Him bless. Where does it begin? Salvation. Let this hand represent you, me, every person that's ever come into this world. Let this folder represent sin. God says, I love you, I hate the sin. Oh, sometimes people think God hates sinners. No, God loves sinners. God loves the sinner, He hates the sin, and that sin will separate us and does separate us from God. If we die with this on us, we will spend eternity separated from God. But God is not willing that any should perish, and He knows that there's nothing that we can do in our flesh. You could walk aisles, raise your hand, join churches, give money. None of these things would buy you a second in heaven. And God is not willing that we should perish. Let this hand represent Jesus Christ. Before the foundation of the world, before sin ever occurred, He already established Jesus Christ to be the Savior, the Lamb of God that would die on the cross of Calvary to take away the sin of the world. And when Jesus was on that cross, He took every person's sin debt, mine, yours, and everyone's. And He gave up the ghost. He died. 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb, rose again, paid in full. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. I have a sin debt, and there's nothing I can do to satisfy that. And if I die with that on me, I will spend eternity in hell separated from God. And so it is, I understand God made the payment. In the work of redemption, the broken body, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I put my faith in His work of redemption. He paid it all. Not my good works and Jesus, but Jesus alone. I trust that and only that for my salvation. God knows your thoughts. That moment, you are saved. For God so loved the world, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt in its entirety. Whosoever, whichever sinner, believes in His work of redemption and that alone for their salvation, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. That's the Christmas story. That's the Easter story. That's the year-round story. That God sent His Son to ransom sinners.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.